Isn't it exciting to watch the gospel spread? You know, with the persecution of Stephen, or the murder of Stephen, there was a persecution. And people left town and got out. But they started to tell everybody about Jesus. And the ones who went to Antioch didn't restrict themselves to Jews. This was, now we've already had, in Luke's chronological order, we've already had Peter going into a Gentile's house and all of those people being baptized in the Holy Spirit in the same way as the apostles at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came and they began to prophesy. But now something new happens. There's actually going out to preach to those who are not Jews. Now this was prophesied. In fact, the Psalm prophesies it today. That when God's plan is fulfilled, everyone will be gathered to Israel, and they will know the one true God. They will be born in her, it says here. And now it's happening. So, the people in Jerusalem who are responsible send Barnabas up there. And he's thrilled to death to see people coming to know the Lord. But he goes by instinct. He goes to get Paul. Paul was the one who was most fiercely defending Jewish customs, and he goes to get Paul to help with this new situation. Now, remember, the Lord had told Ananias that I'm going to make him a vessel of election for the Gentiles. But now it's going to happen. So the hand of the Lord was with these people. A great number who believed turned to the Lord. So Barnabas goes up, then he goes to Tarsus, he finds Saul, he brings him back, and for a whole year they met with the gathering, with the church, and taught a large number of people. And it was here that the Christians were first called, the disciples were first called Christians. This is still to this day, Mizrachim. In Arabic, they're the Messiah people. They follow the Messiah, Mizrachim. To this day. The Jews call them Notrim, the Nazarites. I mean, in their language, yeah, they know very well we're Christians. Now, the selection of the psalm is very beautiful. It's about Jerusalem. And the desire of the Lord's heart, expressed in this psalm, His foundation upon the holy mountains the Lord loves, the gates of Zion more than any of the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are said of you, O city of God. I tell of Egypt and Babylon among those who know the Lord, of Philistia, Tyre, Ethiopia. They say of all of these, this man was born here. Where? Jerusalem. See, there's a saying, everybody in the world has two cities. The one they were born and Jerusalem. Because that's our home, you see? And he who established her is the Most High God. They shall note when the peoples are enrolled, this man was born here. And all shall sing in their festive dance, my home is within you. Now, the intuition of the church is to apply this to Mary. Because she is the symbol of the church. She's the one in whom all the church is gathered. And so, just as we're starting now to see, we've had Peter, we had Philip talk to the eunuch, the minister of the Queen of Ethiopia. We've had breakouts. But now, you see, it's rooted. There's people up there preaching. So what's going to happen next? We'll probably have it soon. There's a council in Jerusalem. What are we going to do with these people? And Paul, you see, is saying, oh no, it'll be after Paul comes back from the missionary journey, which will start soon. This has got to be worked out. You mean to tell us that the law, the Torah, and all its interpretation is going to be set aside? Not the commandments. Who are you people? This law has been with us for 1,000 years, and you have the right to set it aside? This is revolutionary. We say, oh, look at these old stick-in-the-muds, they want this law. Of course they want this law. This is the way to please God. Realize what a rupture, what a revolution. And if it's today, we could show how our lives are all Christians in the world, pleasing to God, the Jews would be convinced. The problem is, half of us are voting for abortion. Show me that what you're obeying is making you better worshipers of God, and I'll believe you. That's why when John Paul II went to Israel, everybody loved him. Everybody. He used to always say, you know, the Jews are our elder brothers. And one Jewish journalist in Italy said, you know, he says we're his older brother. I'm telling you, he's my father. It doesn't take much. It just takes sanctity. And we could win everybody. And so now we have this. I was made a mistake the other day when I said the Feast of the Dedication started on the beginning of chapter 10. It doesn't. It starts here in verse 22. Up to verse 21 and 10 is still the Feast of Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. And now we start the new feast. It's winter now. The other one was a spring feast, fall feast, really. Now we got winter. And again, we have the same theme. Remember, these are all picked to help us understand the life of the church. The life of the church is to follow Jesus. Very simple. To follow Jesus. Follow his voice. Listen to him. Huh? My sheep hear my voice. I know them. And they follow me. That's the definition of a Christian. To hear the Jesus' voice, who is the living and eternal Son of God, and follow him. Go wherever he leads you. That's a Christian. Can you imagine if today, all of us were over a billion Christians in this world were to all today to obey Jesus? How long would it take to bring about unity? 10 minutes? It'd be over. And if this church were one and holy and Catholic and apostolic, as we claim it is, and there were all these people who loved God and loved each other, how long before there'd be peace? How long before the darkness of the crimes we commit, war, murder, abortion, would be so clear that people would turn from them? And come, as this psalm says, you know, they are all born there. That's what it says, right? One and all were born where? In Zion. That's the church. That's Mary. Everybody. So you want a great apostolic plan? Be a saint. Piece of cake. Not the saint part, but the results. Piece of cake. You want to evangelize? Just be holy. Everybody in the world knows, because they were placed on a high place, but like John Paul II, Mother Teresa was just an Armenian lady who was working with the poor in India. And look what God did. He put her on a candlestick. Because that's where she belongs. Therese didn't belong on a candlestick. But she's the patron of the missions. It's a really, it's not easy, but it's simple. Just stop your own will, get away from sensuality and distraction, give your whole life to Jesus, and you're a missionary. Not a problem. And that's what this text is telling me about. You see, my sheep hear my voice. And his voice is yes. You know, as it says in Isaiah, you know, you hear the voice, this is the way, follow it. Also, the Lord who loves us so much, that was a sin, repent. He'll show us where to repent. He'll get us out of our mess. We just have to listen to him. Now, we're all ready to listen to him up to a point. And after that point, gee, I don't know, Jesus, there's something wrong with my receiver. I just can't pick you up anymore. I mean, because it's getting close to areas where we don't want to change. The Lord is saying, please come, change. I put the world in your hands. You see, no one can take them out of my Father's hand. And the Father and I are one. It's a very, very beautiful teaching about this city of God, the church, all summed up in this feast. This one and that one were born in her.